The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning, hour number two. Jimmy Sangenberger in for George Brockler right here at the Colorado Convention Center. We are located outside the Belco Theater. If you're coming here to the Western Conservative Summit, make sure to come on by, say hi. There are some chairs. Right now they're empty because things are just getting ready to go here at the summit, but we've got some chairs here you can sit and enjoy, and we can chat and have a good time. It's going to be a blast as things are revved up and ready to go. You've got Tulsi Gabbard, Riley Gaines, Ken Buck, and a whole range of folks running for, a few people running for president, and a lot of people who are going to be speaking about a variety of issues and topics. What a great time we're looking forward to here at the Western Conservative Summit. And I'm broadcasting in for George Brockler today and back in the saddle here on location tomorrow from 6 until 9. In the last hour, we spent the whole time talking about the indictment that came out yesterday of the former president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. And in the end, we had a listener talk about really this notion of the deep state, or you could look at it as the administrative state as well, whether it's the legal side and the prosecutions or something that has been plaguing Republican presidents for far too long is the administrative state, the different agencies that really run our government. And when Republicans take over, there's all these institutional operatives, these career bureaucrats that work in the various agencies, and they're sort of caught flat-footed, which is why I'm fascinated by a new project at the Heritage Foundation, the 2025 Presidential Transition Project. What is that about? Well, we're going to find out from the associate director. He is here, the associate director of the 2025 Presidential Transition Project, Spencer Kratian joins me now on location. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here, Spencer. So first of all, have you ever been to the Western Conservative Summit before?
I have not. This is my first time.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoy. I know you will enjoy. It's always, I've been coming since 2011. It's a great time.
Wow.
So I think I set things up well enough in the sense that, look, we have, Spencer, Republican presidents like Donald Trump who will get into office, and you have these people who are the career folks who really run the show, and then they don't know what to do. So how is this 2025 Presidential Transition Project at the Heritage Foundation setting up to address that very concern?
Sure. Well, you've identified a real problem. There are about 2 million full-time non-military federal employees in the civil service. There are between 16 million and 20 million federal contractors. And sitting atop those people, you only have traditionally between 3 and 4,000 political appointees, the people in the government who actually serve at the pleasure of the president, who can be hired and fired by the president. And that's not a lot of people. So what we need is more robust political control and management of the bureaucracy. That's what Project 2025 is about. And Project 2025 is organized by the Heritage Foundation, but we now have more than 60 conservative allies who are on our advisory board. This really represents the whole movement coming together to get ready the policies, the people, and the plans for the next conservative president.
Why does this take sort of a unified front of the conservative movement and not just Heritage Foundation, which is, I would say, the most influential think tank in the United States and has been for many decades?
Well, we need to come together as a movement on this because we don't have time, frankly, to war amongst ourselves, and we don't have time to, we're running out of time to save the country. We need to be ready on day one, January 20th, 2025, and we have seen in past conservative administrations, you know, you spend a year just getting people confirmed. You spend a year learning the ropes, and we don't have that kind of time at this point.
Now, Spencer, from 2020 to 2021, you were special assistant to President Trump and associate director of presidential personnel, which is the entity responsible for helping to identify, recruit, and place hundreds of political appointees at all levels of government. So you have real direct experience with the political appointee process and how critical that is. Why emphasize political appointees and not these career bureaucrats that have expertise and have been around the block for maybe decades in a lot of cases?
Well, one reason is because the way the civil service currently operates, it's very difficult to actually get rid of a career federal employee. And the president does have the power to appoint political appointees. It's, in fact, his most important power. So that's one reason. The other big reason is just we have to make sure that the political appointees themselves are aligned with the president, that they're representing the president's vision. And, you know, people talk about trying to take the politics out of politics, but you actually can't do that. Control of government is inherently political. The people elect a president. They vote for a president. They vote for a certain agenda. And it's up to the president and his or her team of political appointees to make sure that that agenda is being implemented at each federal agency.
Again, Spencer Cradian is our guest. He is from the Heritage Foundation's 2025 Presidential Transition Project. I want to read something from a Breitbart News article. You're quoted in saying, quote, "We are there in government, hopefully in 2025, to dismantle the administrative state. But that also means we need to know how to use the levers of power and not just have an instinctual reaction to get the government out of everything." Now, my instinctual reaction is to get the government out of everything. I'm a very limited government kind of guy. What do you mean by that?
Sure. Well, I'm a limited government guy as well. I think in past conservative administrations, there has been this philosophy of we're going to lead by example and not fill all the political appointments. And the reality is every additional political appointee ends up saving taxpayers' money, ends up reducing the size of government. And so you need the people there. You can't just outsource it to the bureaucracy. So that's one important point. And you're right. I mean, the goal of this project is to drive a dagger through the heart of the administrative state. We have got to return the government to the people and reassert the principle that the president is in charge and that, you know, he is in charge of the executive branch. And the political appointees who work for him, their job is to make sure that his agenda is being implemented.
I would say a couple examples of where this worked out really well under President Trump was when we look at the Environmental Protection Agency. And I look to Andrew Wheeler, for example, who later took over as the director of the EPA. Or you can look at David Bernhardt as Interior Secretary and what he was able to do with environmental policies, and Betsy DeVos with the Department of Education. Now, those are the highest level. You're talking about more rank and file. You're talking about lower levels than just the secretaries or the directors of major institutions that are cabinet level. But either way, the same principle applies. It worked really well at that top level, but they need the support at the lower levels.
That's right. You can't just have people at the Senate confirmed level. You can't have just one political appointee who oversees 500 career federal bureaucrats. That's not a ratio that's too small. And so we need more people, we need well-trained people, and we need people from outside Washington to descend upon D.C. That's what we're building. You can go to project2025.org also and actually get involved, sign yourself up, and we want people from outside Washington to come to D.C. in 2025 and take the country back.
Now, one aspect of this program is, I think it's a website or some tool that you've got that's being called like the Conservative LinkedIn. Talk to me about that. It's fascinating.
Sure. Well, we have constructed what we call the Presidential Personnel Database. It's live at project2025.org. And we are building we call it the Conservative LinkedIn. It is not outward facing, so it's not like LinkedIn in that way, but it is like LinkedIn in that you can go cultivate your own profile. I've got a profile in it. And it's what we've done is we've replicated the actual vetting process of the Presidential Personnel Office as best we can, and we are getting people from all across the country, getting people who are recommended by our conservative advisory board organizations, and we're going to actually be able to deliver whole slates of recommendations to the next president and to the official transition team and to my old office, the Presidential Personnel Office. So I would encourage everybody who's here at the summit and everybody listening at home, you know, spread the word. If you want to work for the next conservative president, you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. And it's at project2025.org.
So it is essentially helping to curate and speed up the process for, so, okay, we know these people will pass the muster of the background check, will pass the muster of whatever other criteria is necessary for these jobs, doing that legwork so things can get done more quickly as far as that evaluation process, and also helping to develop a policy agenda, right, as far as the dismantling the administrative state.
Yeah, so we are doing the next president's work ahead of time. That's the vision of Project 2025. I'll talk, you know, a bit more generally. The project is organized into four pillars. So the first pillar is our policy book, Mandate for Leadership. That's live at project2025.org. You can read it there or order a copy. And that goes agency by agency through the federal government and outlines what a conservative president needs to be doing at that agency beginning in 2025. So we've got, you know, Secretary Carson wrote the chapter on the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Former Acting Secretary Chris Miller wrote the chapter on the Department of Defense, for example. And we had a whole team of contributors, more than 400 people who contributed this book, and it's at project2025.org. The second pillar of the project is the database that I was talking about, the Presidential Personnel Database. The third pillar of the project is what we call our Presidential Administration Academy, and that is training for political appointees. So everything from, you know, how to do your security clearance paperwork to how to work with the media, how to serve the president at your agency. We've got that's live also at project2025.org. And then the fourth pillar of the project is what we call the playbook, which is the actual transition plan, the binder that we're coming up with of action items for each federal agency, what needs to happen throughout the first 6 months of the next administration. So that's Project 2025 in a nutshell.
Just a couple of minutes more here with Spencer Cradian. He is our guest from the Heritage Foundation, the associate director of the 2025 Presidential Transition Project. Going back to the idea of using the levers of power versus reducing government, to me, fundamentally, though, really they're in sync, because the primary goal here would be to use the levers of government to get government out of the way for the most part by cutting the red tape, by eliminating regulations that are unnecessary, and not just unnecessary, but harmful for the American people.
Absolutely. And when you have people with the idea that we should just not go into government because we're conservatives and we like our small businesses, we like our families, we like our churches, that's all very good. But the reality is we've outsourced the government to the left. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that if you don't have a dedicated team of proven conservative political appointees in 2025, the swamp is going to capture the agencies. Mm-hmm. And we already know, I would bet good money that big tech and big pharma and the defense contractors and Wall Street and the lobbyists in D.C., they're all going to be ready for the next conservative president. They all are going to know what to do. They're going to have their list of things that need to get done. But Project 2025 is a conservative movement's agenda, our people and our plans for 2025. And so we've got to be able to not only step into a void, but to get the plans ready ahead of time.
And I think folks don't understand so well, typically, one key thing. It is a long process to add or remove a regulation.
Yes.
There actually is, there's a review process. You have to create it. You got to review. There are multiple steps depending on if you're trying to eliminate a regulation or you're trying to bring something new in. So having those regulations, this is the red tape, specific red tape that needs to be cut ahead of time, mm-hmm. can help identify and get that ball rolling quickly.
Yes, there are all sorts of wrenches that they will throw in the gears when you try to get rid of regulations. And we need to we need to have pre-written executive orders, pre-written regulations ahead of time, but we also need political appointees who will take it upon themselves to change policy to better reflect the next conservative president's vision. Mm. And so you need the people at all levels to do that. And also you've got to work on the regulations ahead of time and just have them ready to go day one so that we can at least start that process, which does take a while.
And again, the website, where can folks go to learn more about the transition project?
Project2025.org. And we've got it all there, and you can send us an email, get involved.
This is the kind of innovation the conservative movement has seen from the Heritage Foundation for decades, and it is continuing. Spencer Cradian, Associate Director of the 2025 Presidential Transition Project at the Heritage Foundation, really appreciate you joining us right here at the West Conservative Summit, and have a great time.
Thank you, Jimmy, and I hope to see many people around at the summit.
Wonderful. It's going to be another great occasion. We are live here at the Western Conservative Summit. Jimmy Sangenberger filling in for George Brockler. We're going to take a break. We've got lots more coming up. Still really just getting started. People are trickling on in, and things are getting ready to be cranked to 11 very soon. Again, Jimmy in for George Brockler. We'll take a break. Be back with more on the other side on Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS. Good morning. Welcome back. Jimmy Sangenberger in for George Brockler this morning, live from the Western Conservative Summit down at the Colorado Convention Center. If you're heading on down here, where KNUS is the official radio sponsor, please be sure to stop by the booth outside the Belco Theater. We'd love to meet you, and who knows, maybe if we have openings, we can talk for a couple of minutes live on the air. Who knows what will happen when we are down on remote at the Western Conservative Summit. Our telephone number as well, 303-696-1971. Folks are just starting to trickle in here at this summit, which is going to be a grand occasion, as it always is. I've been coming here since 2011, which was the second Western Conservative Summit. I think I've done six or seven live remotes, that is to say, broadcasting live on location at the summit. And here we are again. It is always a great occasion to get together with fellow conservatives who are very passionate, fired up, revved up, and ready to go, especially as the presidential election cycle is already set to begin. We have two or three presidential candidates who are swinging by the summit this weekend. Larry Elder is one. Of course, he ran for governor of California last year, and he is a radio guy, extensive radio background, and he's running for president of the United States. I'll be introducing him here at the summit tomorrow morning after my show, which runs 6 to 9, and we will be broadcasting then as well, 6 to 9 here on 710 KNUS with the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Asa Hutchinson, the former governor of Arkansas, also vying for the presidency, and he is going to be speaking as well here at the summit. 303-696-1971, our telephone number. Before things really get cranked up with our guests, I want to take a couple of minutes to talk about the Denver School Board's clown show. Indeed, my column for the Denver Gazette today is entitled Denver School Board's Clown Show Tells All. And I want to play a couple of clips from a board meeting that happened on Monday where, gosh, things just went completely astray. It was indeed a clown show, as described by longtime civil rights activist Alvertus Simmons. Just to give you a taste, let's play cut one, which is really Xochitl Gaitan, the president of the school board, going at it with Michelle Quattlebaum, the secretary of the board, and the vice president, a familiar name to most listeners on the station, Tay Anderson, who you can hear speak up and bellow some opposition. This is just how absolutely crazy things went. Cut one on Monday.
Thank you, Dr. Smith, for that information.
Secretary Quattlebaum, you didn't have the floor.
I do want to go back to...
Secretary Quattlebaum, you did not have the floor.
I do want to go back
Secretary
to what I mentioned.
Let her speak.
And that is...
You did not have the
that
floor.
That our black students, by and large... This topic
don't cut
is
her
too
mic.
Important.
Do not cut her mic.
For us.
Do not cut her mic.
This
please
topic,
cut everyone's mic. Dr. Marrero has the floor.
This topic is too important. Do you
please, mind? Please, Dr. Marrero has the floor. Dr. Marrero,
please. Finish, but please. I do have something about oppression that I want to share as well.
This topic.
Do not cut her mic off.
Please.
Do not cut her mic off. Put her mic back on.
Please, you're being very disrespectful.
No, you cannot cut please people's mics lower off and silence voices you don't want to hear.
Lower.
I don't need that. This topic is too important. We have almost 5 hours of public comments.
That's not okay. That is oppressive.
That's just a little bit of a taste of what happened on Monday before public comment with the chief of police standing right there, Ron Thomas, standing right there in front of the board. And they were supposed to do public comment, and it took them 2 hours before they finally opened for the public to speak, predominantly on bringing back school resource officers, SROs, onto campuses at DPS. Things got so bad that longtime civil rights activist Alvertus Simmons in Cut 3 went ahead and, well, he called out the school board. Take a listen.
I come here to show my support for SROs, but this is a clown show. All this bickering back and forth, people don't want to respect authority. That's why the kids don't respect, because y'all don't. Sit down. Everybody got their opportunity. Let folks go about their business and everybody be respectful. So everybody's got to show respect to get their point across, and then we got to do something about it. School board, y'all ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Brilliant. Absolutely on point, brilliant, calling out Denver School Board for the clown show that it was and saying y'all ought to be ashamed of yourselves. And make no mistake, they ought to be when you are totally derailed from focusing on providing safety, providing security, addressing educational needs and more. It was a complete and utter breakdown in civility and civil discourse, the antithesis of the kind of behavior a school board must model for its students and employees. Check out my column in the Denver Gazette today. Denver School Board's clown show tells all. Alvertus hit it right out of the park. Clown show. And it was particularly because of Tay Anderson and Michelle Quattlebaum pulling some stuff. They bear the main responsibility, but the other school board members, with the exception of the president, who trying to rein them in just a little bit, sat there and just watched this all happen. That is not leadership, and it's not what we need in a school board. Anywhere, from Denver Public Schools on to anywhere else. Our telephone number, if you want to join into the festivities, 303-696-1971. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger, filling in for George Brockler. Again, of course, the big news of the day yesterday is the indictment of former President Donald Trump by the Department of Justice. They, yesterday, the special counsel, Jack Smith, put forward this indictment. The charges against Trump include willfully retaining national defense secrets in violation of the Espionage Act, making false statements, and a conspiracy to obstruct justice. Let's play cut eight here. This is a little bit of former President Trump yesterday in 4 minutes, a video that he put out on social media denying wrongdoing and insisting that he is an innocent man. Cut eight.
Very sadly, we're a nation in decline, and yet they go after a popular president, a president that got more votes than any sitting president in the history of our country, by far, and did much better the second time in the election than the first. And they go after him on a boxer's hoax, just like the Russia hoax and all of the others. This has been going on for 7 years. They can't stop, because it's election interference at the highest level. There's never been anything like what's happened. I'm an innocent man. I'm an innocent person.
And he ended it by saying the same thing. Here's a little bit more in cut nine. the former president continuing to insist I'm an innocent man and that this is essentially a political prosecution.
But it's called election interference. They're trying to destroy a reputation so they can win an election. That's just as bad as doing any of the other things that have been done over the last number of years, and especially during the 2020 election. So I just want to tell you, I'm an innocent man. I did nothing wrong. And we will fight this out just like we've been fighting for 7 years. It would be wonderful if we could devote our full time to making America great again. And that's exactly what we did. But now, again, our country is in decline. We're a failing nation. And this is what they do. I'm an innocent man. We will prove that again. 7 years of proving it. And here we go again. Very unfair. But that's the way it is. I just want to thank everybody.
I think 5 or 6 times in 4 minutes he said, I'm an innocent man. I'm not sure, politically speaking, whether that was the best approach to take in that video. But indeed, the indictment has come, and the question is, what are the political implications going to be? We are live here at the Western Conservative Summit. I'm sure this topic will be coming up throughout the show today. We're here until 10 o'clock. It looks like we have the folks from the Western Conservative Summit Youth Conference that have gathered right outside where the KNUS booth is. And look, I love to see young conservatives engaged and involved and really working ahead, learning the skills, getting engaged, meeting folks who are in positions of influence and just learning all these things. The Western Conservative Summit has been great, and it makes sense because it's sponsored by the Centennial Institute. They organize it at the Colorado Christian University campus. And so it makes sense that there is this emphasis that they have always had from the beginning on youth engagement. And as somebody who got involved in politics at the ripe old age of 13, who when I was in college was head of the college Republicans and did campus radio and campus newspaper, I've always had this passion for getting young folks engaged. And when we see the Centennial Institute consistently year after year, in sometimes different variations, do what they do in terms of engaging youth, engaging young conservatives, like at the WCS Youth Conference, it's so great to see. Make no mistake, the next generation is where it's at as far as advancing conservative principles, as far as saving liberty and saving the Constitution at a time when we are seeing it eroded. Day in and day out, eroded, especially under Biden, but not just because of Biden. When we talked with Spencer Cradian earlier in the program this hour, he specifically was talking about what the Heritage Foundation is trying to do to rein in the administrative state. Reining in the administrative state is a massive undertaking because they are the ones that really control the government. It isn't actually Congress. Congress gives wide latitude to the secretaries of the various federal departments who then give wide latitude to their staffs. So it's through projects like the Transition Project at the Heritage Foundation, 2025 Transition Project, and through efforts to engage young people in the political process that we can make headway, that we can make gains that will be meaningful for the conservative movement, for liberty, for the Constitution. And of course, this involves a lot of politics and political disputes and political discussions and the politics of things like the indictment of former President Trump. History in the making. Unfortunate, but history in the making, nevertheless, the first time in history that a former president has been charged by the federal government. Again, this includes willfully retaining national defense secrets in violation of the Espionage Act, making false statements, and a conspiracy to obstruct justice. Question 303-696-1971. Is this an opportunity for Trump that he can make hay out of and gain traction? Be someone who the American or the Republicans look at and say, hey, this guy keeps being attacked by the deep state keeps being attacked by weaponized prosecutors, and he deserves our support, or will they grow fatigued and say, wait a second, I'm a little tired of all of this politics of or these legal issues bogging down the effort of us to elect a new president of the United States of America. Jeff Hunt, can you come on? All right, we'll get Kelly to set you up before we go to a break. Jeff Hunt is here, executive director of the Centennial Institute, the Western Conservative Summit. Brother, how
are
you?
That's right. We are starting here in just about 20 minutes down here at the Colorado Convention Center, Belco Theater. We have wonderful turnout. We got a whole bunch of young people in dapper suits.
They
ready
look great.
To be a part of the Western Conservative Summit. We had nearly 80 students this year and at this youth conference, which runs the week before the Western Conservative Summit. But we are just ready to rock and roll. Speakers are in the green room. People are filling up in the auditorium.
Who's on tap? Who's speaking today?
So this morning we've got Yoram Hazony. You may not know that name offhand, but Yoram Hazony, in my opinion, is one of the most brilliant political philosophers in the world. He's from Israel. He wrote a book, Conservatism, or Rediscovery, so we've got him. We'll have Lauren Boebert later this evening. We've got Harriet Hageman this morning as well. She did a great job last night kind of previewing what she's going to be talking about.
Congresswoman from Wyoming,
Congresswoman,
right?
I was going to say Liz Cheney. But sorry, Liz, you are not
Thankfully,
here.
No.
Harry, a different person, Harriet Hageman, is going to be here instead. So we have her lined up. And then throughout the weekend, everyone from Ken Buck and, as I mentioned, Lauren Boebert and Doug Lamborn to Tulsi Gabbard, Seth Dillon, the CEO of the Babylon Bee, Eric Metaxas, the great Salem radio host and New York Times best-selling author. So the party's just getting started. You can still get tickets. Come on down and be a part of what we're doing here. You can register on-site or purchase your tickets at westernconservativesummit.com. Or if you can't make it, just watch online. It's all broadcast online, and that's available at westernconservativesummit.com, too.
One of the things that I've always loved, of course it makes sense, since Colorado Christian University hosts the Centennial Institute, it's where it's based, I've always loved going back to John Andrews on to carrying on with you as executive director, the emphasis on the youth conference and engaging young conservatives at these conferences. It's an incredible experience and opportunity.
So listen to this. These kids did a mock legislature this weekend. In 3 days, they passed 6 bills into law, and these bills included banning any more efforts to overturn commercial plastic products. So you get to keep your plastic bags and your straws. They put restrictions on the governor's emergency powers.
Thank God.
That's a good one, too. And they put into the Constitution the right to hunt, fish, and trap.
Can we make those real?
They did that in 3 days. They did that in 3 days. Our entire Colorado legislature just destroyed our state over the course of 6 months. In 3 days, these kids did a lot better.
Let's put them in charge.
That's right. I think our state would be a lot better.
How about that? No, it's so important. And, I mean, looking at the next generation, Gen Z coming up, you and I, Jeff Hunt, are both millennials.
Yep.
So seeing the up-and-coming Generation Z really take hold and make their conservative principles known is so critical.
Gives you a lot of hope. It really
yes.
does.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
really does.
Lost.
Well, Jeff, don't be a stranger. Come on back down to 710 KNUS booth, and good luck. Another great summit.
Grateful to have you guys here. You're wonderful.
Once again, Jeff Hunt, executive director of the Centennial Institute, dropping by here as he gets ready to go with the festivities here at the Colorado Convention Center. Our booth is located right outside the Belco Credit Union Theater. Belco Theater, drop on by. 303-696-1971 is our telephone number if you'd like to join into the festivities. Let's take a break. We'll be back. Jimmy Sangenberger in for George Brockler today here on Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS. Good morning. We are live at the Western Conservative Summit at the Colorado Convention Center. Folks are trickling in. Jimmy Sangenberger filling in For George Brockler today, right outside the Belco Theater, News Talk 710 KNUS, and it is that time of the morning. After the opening bell, we'll recheck in with our friends at Alpine Planning Group. Brian Gray joining us today. Good morning, Brian. How the heck are you?
Hey, doing all right, Jimmy. How you doing this morning?
You know what? I'm at the Western Conservative Summit, so not only can I not complain, I can't help but be feeling good.
Get you some more coffee, and that'll get you through it.
That's true.
All right, let's take a look at these markets. We got all three indexes in the green right now. The Dow's up 36 points. S&P's up 17. NASDAQ's up 116. Take a look at two of the three of these, the S&P and the NASDAQ. We're now back in bull territory, so that's a good little marker. Some things that we're keeping our eyes on for next week. We got the Feds. Are they going to raise rates again? If they do, this would be the 11th time in a row they've raised them. Most people, most analysts out there think they're going to raise them a quarter point. So we'll just have to stay tuned on that one. But I think right now, Jimmy, the hardest thing that we're trying to relay to our clients and people on the radio is you got to stay invested in the market. I mean, there's strategies out there that you can put in place where you can protect yourself so that if the market does drop, you know, you can protect the principal on your money. And we also know that anytime the market has had a down year, the following year, typically it's bounced back pretty good. So that's kind of what we're seeing as we move forward this year. You know, we got a lot going on. We got these Biden documents that are now starting to come out. Trump getting indicted yesterday, interest rates, inflations, et cetera. A lot of news out there, a lot of stuff to distract the average investor as you move forward. And if you want to make sure you're still on track or just get that second opinion, give Alpine Planning Group a call. We'd love to sit down and talk to you and see if we can be of assistance with you.
Absolutely. You know, folks, Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term financial success. Investing is a matter of trust, and they are prepared to earn yours. Call them today at 303-843-0918. That's 303-843-0918. Brian, we'll check in with you next week. Thanks so much, brother. Have a great weekend.
All right, Jimmy. Have a good time down there.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Once again, we are here at the Western Conservative Summit, the Colorado Convention Center, and the Belco Theater. Things are just starting to warm up as folks are arriving and checking in. The festivities will start soon enough, and what a great time it always is to be joining conservatives from not just Colorado, but also around the country who come to see some tremendous speakers and so much more. Of course, our telephone number as well, 303-696-1971, if you'd like to join in to the festivities. And you can email me directly. Again, Jimmy Sangenberger filling in for George Brockler, 710knus.com. Go to my show's page, The Jimmy Sangenberger Show, and you could shoot me a note there or from my website, jimmysangenberger.com. Keep in mind, there's no A, I, or U in Sangenberger. It's all E's all the time. Once you know that, Sangenberger is easy. Great lineup of speakers coming up this weekend, including Seth Dillon, who heads up the Babylon Bee, which is such a fun answer to the left's The Onion. Tulsi Gabbard, Larry Elder, Governor Asa Hutchinson, former governor of Arkansas, Senator Josh Hawley, Riley Gaines, who's fighting the good fight for women's rights in sports and to have their own sports. Kristen Wagner at the Alliance Defending Freedom, which is doing some of the fighting, the good fight in regards to women's rights in sports and more. ADF, of course, has represented and done so much good work for our good friend Jack Phillips in his fight against the Colorado state government and its continued persecution against him. Representatives Lauren Boebert, Ken Buck, Doug Lamborn all making their way through, as well as Representative Harriet Hageman of Wyoming, who passed one against Liz Cheney and took over that post. That's a pretty important and great feat. And the list goes on for folks who are coming here to speak at the Western Conservative Summit. We are at the Belco Theater. And, of course, the big news of the day is the Donald Trump indictment, but there's more as well. This was very concerning to me, as it was giving old-school 1950s Soviet Union Cold War vibes here. The Wall Street Journal reporting yesterday, China and Cuba have reached a secret agreement for China to establish an electronic eavesdropping facility on the island. In a brash new geopolitical challenge by Beijing to the U.S., according to the U.S., according to U.S. officials familiar with the matter. An eavesdropping facility in Cuba, roughly 100 miles from Florida, would allow Chinese intelligence services to scoop up electronic communications throughout the southeastern U.S., where many military bases are located, and monitor U.S. ship traffic. Officials familiar with the matter said that China has agreed to pay cash-strapped Cuba several billion dollars to allow it to build the eavesdropping station, and that the two countries had reached an agreement in principle. Folks, this is concerning, because this is the modern day, let's plant some troops to observe and to be close to the United States. This is in the Western Hemisphere. This should implicate the Monroe Doctrine in some form or fashion. I'm not sure how you address this directly, but it is a big concern when China is setting up an electronic eavesdropping center just miles off the Florida coast. And the potential there, what they can gather as far as intel, it's a next level situation for the American people from a national security standpoint vis-a-vis China. And the thing is, that you, and I've talked with Gordon G. Chang about this, you see him on Fox and elsewhere quite a bit, the Biden administration has been far from tough on China when it comes to their advancements on the world stage. I'm not talking about economics. I'm talking about the national security issues and more. They have not done their job well in that regard. I'm Jimmy Sengenberger, filling in for George Brockler. Two more hours up ahead. Then later, Deborah Flora and Stephen Tubbs. We'll continue on the other side. News Talk 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.